What the? Why won't this stupid rod work? Mr. What was your name? Fluffy Bunny something? Can you help me out with this stupid thing? Oh, here we go. It's working. It's pointing us towards Horror in Blackwood Forest, Part 6.
Hold on, hold on. And I'll see which way the divining rod wants us to go.
Okay, can you make me an arcana check, please, Dandelion?
Ooh, 19.
Okay, excellent. Who is going to be leading the charge then? The rod is pointing you into the forest. And it is in kind of, it seems like it's in this, I mean, obviously your orientation, you're not sure what direction you're facing. But for the purposes of how we'll describe it, in this north direction.
That way, Malik.
Here. Get up here. Show me the direction.
Straight that way.
Okay. I look at the thing and head that direction.
Malik, then you can give me a survival check with advantage, which you have a level of exhaustion, yeah? So it's a straight roll.
11.
God, it's terrible rolls tonight.
I think Malik needs a new set of dice.
Yeah, I think 12 is the highest I've rolled all night.
With the rod to guide you, it's not like you ever really like get fully off track, but with you know, using that kind of that direction and Malik, you attempting to navigate the party again, an unknown amount of time passes where, you know, each of you, you're getting tired. It's clearly been, I mean, long enough for you to think that you feel like you need to hit a bed, right? To hit a bedroll kind of thing. But this additional wandering is going to inflict a level of exhaustion to each of you. Again, Malik, you're like, it feels like you're disoriented, which you're incredibly unfamiliar with being and or feeling that way.
We need to stop.
Exhaustion level 2 now, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Grendel's just 1.
Goodman Games, how dare you?
Yes, I could use a rest.
Do you think we're hidden enough here?
Yeah, I sort of listen. Do we hear anything odd or see anything?
You can give me perception. But so as this second level of fatigue kind of washes over each of you, Malik, you do find yourself again in the torchlight. You see you're at the edge of another, what looks like another clearing or another opening within the foliage and the vegetation. Without stepping past it, your torch radius does not allow you to see the full extent of the clearing or how large it is, but you can see, like, there's this clear demarcation in the vegetation, and the ground of this opening looks like it's like a fine layer of ashen soil. There's no vegetation growing in this area.
We should rest here if we're going to rest before we go out there.
Yes, there's some new track here, some new area. We must be getting closer. Let's rest.
I'm just gonna say it, I'm fine with resting, but I'm worried about you, Grendel. You need to eat. I think it's obvious at this point.
I think we need to tie him up if we're going to sleep.
Oh, I know. I know, I don't feel right. I feel tired, but restless. Oh.
No offense, Grendel, but I do not trust you to guard. I think just if the rest of us take guard shifts and we just all watch him.
Agreed.
Okay, maybe that's a good idea.
I walk over to Grendel, I tie a rope around his wrist, take him over to a tree, take it across, tie it to his other wrist, and then wrap it around him a few times, tying a knot in the back of the tree so he can't get to it. And then I go to the, you know, 10 feet away or something, and I'll say, I'll take first watch. Get some sleep.
All right. As you secure Grendel and you each take your respective watches, those that sleep, they're almost assaulted with dreams, nightmares more like, of just various horrors, you know, of being lost in the dark in these woods, various snarls and sounds, you know, much like what you ran from the wolf pack, just this feeling of helplessness in these nightmares that you are experiencing. You do get a long rest, but each of you have to make me another wisdom saving throw, please, as you wake.
So long rest first or wisdom save first?
Wisdom saving throw first, please. You will get your hit points and any of your class features that refresh on a long rest.
4.
17.
15.
14 for Grundle.
Everybody but Malik passes. Malik, you suffer another level of exhaustion.
Okay, do I get a level back since I did a long rest?
None of you lose a level of exhaustion with this long rest, it appears. The sleep was not is too fitful to get rid of any of your exhaustion.
I hate fitful sleep. It's the worst.
All right, so I'm at level 3, which means my speed is halved. I have disadvantage on attack rolls and saving throws.
Grundle, as you wake, as this at least 8 hours have gone by, you can make me another constitution saving throw as that hunger again creeps through your entire being.
14 again.
And again, you tamp it down at the expense of your intelligence, down another point of
turning
intelligence.
Into a bumbling idiot.
You're slowly being driven as you're starving yourself. Clearly, like, driving yourself to that of a mindless animal.
Would I notice that Malik looks even more exhausted this morning? Or this morning? In quotes.
I would say by the yes, a level 3 manifesting itself in the reduced speed. Yes, very clearly. He looks like he is not rested.
I will use my necklace of prayer beads and cast Greater Restoration on him.
Through this magical means, you do cure him of one level of exhaustion.
Yay!
Thank you. I was feeling very poorly. I'm still tired, but I feel much better.
To be honest, I almost freed this guy last night so he could go eat a wolf or something, but I didn't know if he could do it on his own.
I'm glad that I was able to sleep a bit, but I don't feel good.
You look like crap, Grundle.
I feel like it would be hard to even throw a poof right now.
We should have learned how to properly kill a body after being bitten by a vampire.
I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty.
Let's move on into this clearing.
After we untie Grundle, reluctantly, slowly walk up into the clearing that I saw earlier.
And stepping through, like, the edge caught in the radius of your torches, like, it looks like it's forming, like, this part of a circle. As you progress forward, too, as that circle moves, you know, further along its circumference, like, you get to a point where your torchlight no longer hits the edges of this circular clearing as you're moving towards the middle of it. So clearly it's wider than, you know, the 40 feet, I guess, total diameter, right, of your torchlight.
What does the ground look like?
It's, like, been scorched. It's, like, ash and charcoal bits. Zero vegetation here.
Does it look recent or, like, a long time ago?
I don't know that you would be able to tell that by just looking at ash or bits of charcoal. It doesn't seem like there's any, like, still burning embers or anything, like, beneath the soil or anything like that.
What direction does the wand say to go?
I will look down at the bunny. Mr. Fluffernutter, which way should we go?
And it seems like it's pointed you in a pretty constant direction towards and seemingly through this clearing.
Straight on ahead.
You guys lead the way. I'm back here with Grundle.
Watch your steps. Don't trip and, like, injure yourself or maybe even scrape your skin and cause a cut or something. That would be bad. Oh.
Does he still have the rope on him?
I took the rope off.
I'm sorry, Grundle, but should we bind him so in case he, you know, loses it and tries to attack one of us, he won't get very far. and, like, maybe attach him to Ravina.
Why me?
Like the idea of keeping his hands tied.
Ravina, you do look very healthy. I think maybe you'd be a good person to for me to be tied to.
I start tying his hands together in, like, a tether, and then the rope can be, you know, in front of myself, and I've kind of got him on a leash now by the hands.
Okay, so, like, wrist clasp to get in front of him kind of thing? Okay. I mean, Grendel, are you agreeing to this, or are you going to resist? Like,
yeah, I mean, Grendel thinks that Ravina would be a great person to be tied to. She looks very,
very healthy.
She looks very well-fed and healthy and vigorous.
I, like, add a little distance on the rope, like an extra, like, couple feet. Stay behind me, Grendel.
As you, you know, you're crunching through this charcoal, you can hear the soil, like, begin to shift ahead of you, kind of off to the left and the right of you know, your perspective direction that you're traveling. Two figures just, like, sit up out of this soil, like, concealed beneath it, each of them with a rope in their hand. Everybody can make me a dexterity saving throw, please.
12 for Malik.
7 for Grendel.
16. Ravina's on it.
23.
Whoa.
Ravina and Dandelion, you are able to scamper and jump, like, out of the way of this massive net that lies beneath your feet as it comes up. It's attached at 6 different points. It raises up and snares Malik and Grendel.
What happens because I'm tethered?
Well, you get out of it, but Grendel is still there. I assume you didn't tie it to yourself. You were simply holding the rope.
So I just, like, let go.
I mean, yes, you can.
I'm, like, hanging from the air.
Oh, Malik. We're quite close together up in here.
The net comes up and we sort of roll together.
Yes, you two get, like, smushed together. Now you're suspended, swinging, right? As these two cultists have a hold of the rope, and we can roll initiative.
12.
Grendel has a 19.
Malik got a 13.
18 for Dandelion.
Green light ignites at the opposite end of this circle, revealing 5 more adversaries. They're dressed in dark leather armor. They do look like they're humans. They have this raised symbol of a skull on the chest of their armor that kind of catches the light from twisted and gnarled black torches that they hold, which is the source of this green light being cast. And unlike the kind of yellowy orange light that's thrown from your own torches, your own sources, these green torches appear to cast the proper amount of light that you would expect even in this stifling darkness of the forest. One of these new figures speaks out, clearly the leader of this group. You know, as the swinging net that's holding Grendel and Malik kind of finally comes to a stop about 10 feet above the ashen soil beneath you. The master said you'd be coming. As always, the master knows. His ascension will not be prevented. Kill them! Kill them in the name of the master! First in initiative is Grendel.
If you bite me, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, boy.
So two of you in the net, you are restrained, which speed's 0. You have disadvantage on any attack rolls, and people would have advantage on attacks against you, and then you also have disadvantage on dexterity saving throws.
Great. And 2 levels of exhaustion. I think I'm just going to lay back and die.
Let's just do a quick round of where everyone is at with the exhaustion levels.
2.
I have 1, and I have also -3 to intelligence. It's a good thing I'm not a wizard.
Okay, so then those with 2 levels, your speed, remember your speed is halved, and you have disadvantage on ability checks. Grendel, you only have the disadvantage, on ability checks. Even in the light, in the additional light of their green torches, since it throws it higher, throws it like 20 feet higher, basically twice as far as the ones you have. You can just see the net has like 6 connecting points around its base that meet up and slung over this limb attaching to those 2 thicker links that the cultists have a hold of.
So Grundle kind of looks around, sort of tries to gather himself and come to terms with what's happened. And you see this sort of silvery mist start to form around him. And a moment later, he's gone. And he casts Misty Step. And I am going to disappear from the net. And I will appear back sort of on the edge of, I guess, between Dandelion and Ravina and back behind where I was hanging in the net. So about 15 feet back from where I was hanging. I'm going to drive a disorienting spike of psychic energy into one of the cultists on my right, who's holding the rope that's holding the net that Malik's in. So, they have to make a intelligence saving throw. DC...
Well, they got a 2. So I don't think it matters what your DC is.
All right, then. So they take 6 psychic damage, and the next time they make a saving throw before the end of my next turn, they'll subtract 1d4 from that saving throw.
Dandelion.
A streak of light will head towards Death Cultist 2, who is holding the rope that is still holding Malik, as I cast Guiding Bolt. Does a 14 hit him?
Yes, it does.
That is 13 points of radiant damage, and they have a slight glimmer to them. The next person that attacks them will have advantage. And then as a bonus action, I am going to take on my starry form of archer. Yeah, so my body starts to glow. I shed a dim light for 10 feet, and there looks like there's a constellation of an archer on my body. And as a part of my activation, I can make a ranged spell attack for a 16.
Same cultist?
Yeah. Oh, so I would got advantage. Still a 16.
Still a hit.
That is 11 points of damage.
Between that and your guiding bolt, just the two sources of damage just knock this cultist right off his feet, back into the ashen soil that he had popped up from, the rope dropping from his hand as he falls dead. Malik, you dip 5 feet down, right? Still 5 feet above the ground and in the net. But if you, on your turn, choose to take the action to attempt to get out of it, the DC will certainly be lowered now since this cultist is dead.
I will move up closer to Malik, too.
And Malik, you're next.
Well, that does change things a little. But I think still sort of hanging in this net, sort of my foot still caught up into the net, and I know I'd have to roll out of this thing. I'm going to go ahead and use my bonus action of Blessing of the Raven Queen and teleport 30 feet away. Following Grendel's move, I'm going to go back here to the sort of the western edge of this circle, and then I will attack probably the other cultist that was holding a rope just out of spite. So I'm going to take my glimmering moon bow, a long bow, 14 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
12 piercing damage and 4 radiant damage.
And one shot, one kill, as you know, as you teleport from the net and the net just goes completely limp, you see him like looking around and he just throws the rope, like just drops it out of frustration. He's like grumbling, stupid net trap, as you hit him with your arrow, and then he just into his chest and he drops like a sack of hammers.
And of these 5 that are remaining, does the one in the middle that's labeled Death Cult Fanatic, does he look different?
I was about to ask that same question on my turn.
His armor is a little more ornate. He's the one that spoke out. He clearly is the one in charge.
All right, then my second arrow is going towards that fella. 24 to hit.
Yeah.
12 piercing and 2 radiant. Nice armor.
Well done. If you're not moving, Ravina, you're up.
I was about to ask about the fanatic, so thank you, John. Ravina is going to cast Hail of Thorns at 2nd level and shoot her bow at this Death Cult fanatic. Ooh, nat 20. 28 to hit. So I crit. So the Halo Thorn Tea does a dex save.
7.
So that's a fail. So 18 plus 14, 32, right? 18 plus 14.
I mean, it might not be right, but it is more than enough.
Okay.
As your the thorns, right, as the on impact, right, those thorns lash out of your arrow and wrap around him. His armor, his fancy armor, absolutely useless against your magic and your arrow. He's just cut to ribbons from this hail of thorns. And he goes down as well. And just now the Grundle, that fresh smell of blood in the air just hits you like a wave. Are you moving? You have another shot, right? That was only your first shot.
Oh, right. I forgot I'm like cool now and have two attacks. Ravina would be like, leave us alone or else I'll shoot. And I will knock an arrow, but it'll just be like readied if I'm allowed to do that.
Roll me an intimidation.
13? Whoever makes a move first, I'll loose on them, basically.
Okay, sure. That's fine. It's more flavor than anything. But as you menace at the remaining four now, have you made quick work this half round of combat, they look around and they each kind of slink back. You see the two holding the torches just like drop them and they start to flee into the woods around the circumference of this circle.
Yeah, leave us alone.
And if you're not going to take a shot as they flee, it looks like the remaining four are fleeing.
Can't believe I'm saying this, but Grundle, there's fresh meat for you.
Fast food.
So there are two green torches laying on the ground?
Yes.
I'd like to pick one of those up.
Please don't poison yourself.
It's a torch.
It's a green torch, though. Makes me nervous.
I'm not going to lick it.
No.
Probably a good idea, because as you know, things like quiet in the immediate aftermath of them running, Malik, you grab a hold of this discarded torch, and it's clear, like it looks like it's that gnarled, like black wood of the forest that is burning, and it's shedding off this green light.
Nice.
Are we inhaling spores from it or anything crazy?
Malik doesn't feel any negative effects as he's handling it. It looks like it is just simply throwing the proper amount of light, just this kind of discolored light.
So it still looks like burning wood. This wood is like solid stone, right?
It's definitely like harder than normal wood. Like, just, again, you tried to cut it, but yes, it is burning like a normal torch would be.
What did he say about a master expecting us something?
Grundle kind of looks around at his companions surrounding him and scampers forward toward the freshly dead body.
Okay. Would you like to feed?
Like ravenous.
Yeah. He's going to take just the tiniest of nibbles.
Oh, no.
Are you sort of just glancing over to the side and...
He's trying to be very inconspicuous, but probably not all that successful.
Dandelion, I heard that too. Someone else is in charge here. We need to find them.
We need to find Victor.
Well, right, but they probably have Victor, right?
That's probably a fair assumption. What is Grundle doing?
Nothing. Just making sure that he's dead.
It's all an illusion, Dandelion.
Are you sure that's wise?
How does Grundle feel?
As you are tasting this fresh kill for the first time in your new vampire spawn state, I mean, the hunger, you've been fighting the hunger the entire time, right, since you turned, right? And it's been hours and hours, like possibly a day. But you had a long rest. You've been traveling for who knows how long in here. And that finally, while you've been staving off the bloodlust, like you're starting to feel satiated finally. And you do regain those points of intelligence that you lost as you resisted it. But it's as if you've just had the best meal you've ever, like, you were full, you were content, you are
orgasmic.
You're satiated. Yes, you, Grendel, you are poofing all over this clearing.
Oh my god.
Well, Dandelion, I would say there's plenty to go around, but it's probably only me who'd be interested. But oh boy, I feel so much better.
Can you take some with us, like in a water skin?
Oh gosh.
I don't know. I've never really tried to do something like this.
I don't want to see it.
It's disgusting.
Worth a try, right? If it makes you feel that much better.
What does Grendel think about how viable it would be to try and bottle some blood from a fallen victim?
I mean, you could absolutely try to drain one of these dead cultists into a flask or container of some kind. I mean, you all know that blood coagulates, so how long it may remain fresh enough for you to drink, you're unsure.
You gotta suck it and spit it into the thing.
Yeah, you gotta siphon it out of this guy.
You gotta siphon it. It's not pumping anymore.
Could maybe use a dagger and make a little cut and see if some would drain out.
You guys figure that out. I'm gonna check out this armor over here.
Here, I'll try and push on him.
Ew. He goes post-mortem.
That's disgusting.
So, Grendel, you nick one of these bodies, Dandelion, you press on their chest and pump their heart, and it squirts out the nick that Grendel, and you manage to collect a container of some blood.
Oh wow, Dandelion, you're very good at this. I think you would be good as a first responder.
Oh jeez.
Well, thank you.
Ravina, inspecting the Death Cult Fanatics armor. It's just standard leather armor. There's just that symbol of a skull, and it's kind of glossy to the touch, just the material it's made of. That's how it was kind of reflecting the light. But other than that, it doesn't seem like there's anything else that's like special or unique about it.
Is there anything we know about this symbol, or where else have we seen it? Because I'm forgetting.
I mean, it's a depiction of a skull. It seems fairly generic. You don't recall seeing it anywhere else, like since you've entered the Blackwood Forest, at least.
I think he's these guys are part of the Skull Riders, right?
What did they say about the Master Rising, or something to that effect?
Oh, the Rising, I've heard of that. Maybe they're pirates, pirate ships, you know.
It's Ascension, it's probably some kind of a ritual or something. Maybe the boy is being used in that way.
Good thought.
What does the stick say? Which way?
Well, that's a bad thought, actually.
I just saw you jumping on a guy pumping blood out of him for the little guy to drink.
This has
this
been
is
a
nothing.
Traumatic situation. Yes, what does the stick say?
Well, let's ask. Mr. Bunny Butt, which way should we go?
And I'll hold the stick. The rabbit will hold a stick out and direct us to figure out which way you go.
The divining rod disappear to draw you basically in the direction that the death cultists fled. To the other side of this circular clearing, again into the trees and the foliage.
Straight ahead.
I assume we can't track these creatures in the woods since it's been difficult to this point.
You can certainly try to look for tracks or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll try to do, to follow them. Since it's pointing that direction, we might as well assume that they're going back there.
Did they, the direction that they went, is it through those sort of like thick brambles that we've encountered before, or is this more just woods at this point?
It's more woods around this the circumference of this clearing. You don't see any sign of more of those nearly impassable brambles anywhere. Not since you crossed the chasm, the split, right, running from the wolf pack.
You want a survival check?
Please.
25.
Ravina's going to try as well and gets 25.
Well.
You see that?
Ranger. Ranger. Yeah,
Ravina, you see that?
Pointing at the same time at every track.
You see that footstep?
Oh, see that snap twig?
There's one.
between the two rangers and the divining rod, yeah, you easily pick up the fleeing trail of these cultists and press on into the foliage and the trees. And again, you find another like actual path, and it's doesn't seem like it is as windy, and there's far fewer switchbacks than like the path that you previously had been trekking down. And honestly, the amount of time that's passing, like your green torches, they're still burning quite brightly by the time you come to the edge of what looks like another clearing. This one is far larger than where you had been ambushed, and there's more of those green torches basically illuminating the entirety of this clearing. By the looks of it, it looks like it's about 250 feet across or so, and kind of like where the burned ashen soil, like there's no additional tree growth or vegetation in this clearing, aside from a very large tree in the dead center of it. It looks like it's been like petrified and hollowed out. You can see basically all the way up to the top, and despite the lack of trees in this large clearing, the canopy of the forest still like overwraps the whole clearing. So you're still unable to see night sky above you or anything past the darkness of the canopy. But this tree itself looks like it's been like it ends a number of feet up, like dozens and dozens of feet up into like a stump, as if it would be open to the canopy. Peppered around are numerous tents and more of those cultists kind of milling about around this central tree.
If it's been more than 10 minutes, my starry form's gone.
It has definitely been more than 10 minutes.
How long did you do CPR?
Does it have a sign on it say Necromancer's Tower? Because that would really help.
Ooh, this
ignore the sign! It's written in a language you cannot understand. It's written in the DM's language. So you approach from a southern... No, that would be...
Oh dear, say that again.
From the western... entrance into this clearing, and you can see there's three other entrances into it, kind of around the circumference of this 250 foot clearing. From where you entered, you can see that there seems to be a door into this central tree, this petrified, clearly old growth tree.
Does the stick point to the tree?
Does the stick point to the tree?
It does appear to be pointing toward the center of this clearing, yes.
Yeah, it points straight to the center.
Does there look like there's a lot of rabble-rousers milling around between us and the entrance to this tree?
There looks to be about approximately 20 or 25 of these cultists who are wearing kind of similar armor with just the symbol of the skull on them. Kind of milling about. It's clear that they're like some kind of patrolling watch around amongst the structures of this clearing. So at any given time, directly between you and this tree, you know, maybe half a dozen as they're going through their rotations.
Okay.
But there are structures for far more than just 20 to be housed here.
It's the door closed with guards kind of thing.
The door is closed, but there does not appear to be anybody specifically posted outside of it.
I think we can find our way there if we avoid these guards. Follow me and be quiet.
We're going to sneak our way to the door.
We'll do our best. We obviously need to get into that tree.
Do you want me to cast a spell that makes us more stealthy?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Just a second. Ravina casts Pass Without Trace. We are veiled in shadows.
I could also maybe create a small distraction that might help us.
Have it at the ready.
Yeah, only if we're caught.
What kind of distraction?
I'm assuming a poof.
Really, anything you can think of, I can probably do something similar to it, at least. very creative with my illusions.
So I've noticed.
Maybe some kind of loud noise and light from the opposite side of the tree.
Yes, I could do that very easily, actually.
All right, let's go. And Ravina, I'll sort of, since you cast the spell, we'll stay within distance of you. We'll let you lead.
Everybody can make me a stealth check with disadvantage due to your exhaustion, but adding a plus 10.
Adding 10.
Because of your pass out trace.
23 for Dandelion.
24.
21 for Malik.
26 for Grundle.
Perfect.
As a group, you know, you're moving with the aid of Ravina's spell, just kind of timing the patrols, right? And it does seem that they are keeping like a specific distance from the actual entrance to this tree. But you're able to kind of move from like tent to lean to, trying to catch where the torches don't quite overlap, and there's maybe some more shadows for you to pass through. And again, you're you know, you've got 100 or 25 or so feet to cross, right? You know, you're not going to be making a direct beeline for the door as you are attempting to navigate from structure to structure, keeping out of sight. But as you are doing so, you know, you kind of make it the first 50 or 60 feet to the back of a tent. You can kind of see off to the east, right, to your right. You recognize two of the cultists that fled, right? They're coming out of a tent. Another half dozen behind them, coming out of this large, like 30-foot circumference tent, and they're clearly like speaking, and you overhear them talking about, you know, they're coming. We encountered them, and we just got out of from our lives. So the camp is starting to, like, more activity is starting to pick up, right? You can all make me another check to get the you're about halfway there to this last little push. As more of these cultists are starting to appear from the tents and the lean-tos around you.
30 for Dandelion.
26 for Malik.
25 for Ravina.
And 25 for Grundle.
Despite the additional activity, very easily, the party makes it to this door that's kind of set into the like bark of the structure, the petrified wood of this tree in the center of the clearing. As you reach it, you're seeing like groups of cultists, like they're forming search parties, and you see them each being like sent out in every direction, or at least the exits to this clearing that you can see from your vantage butted up now against this tree, which would be like three of the four, right? The one you entered, and then the northern and southern ones, basically. But you've remained undetected.
So what's the door look like? Is it something you push?
It looks like it's a simple wooden door, constructed of like same kind of petrified wood that the actual tree itself is, but clearly it's been set and molded and put on a set of hinges to form as an actual door. Looks like there's just a simple metal handle, like a ring of a handle on it.
I'll open the door just a little bit and listen, trying to be very quiet, see if I hear anything inside.
Okay, give me a perception check with disadvantage, please, because of exhaustion.
Well, that's a 9.
You don't, you know, as you crack this door, the door doesn't make any noise as it opens. And you can peer into, it's kind of gloomy, but there seems to be like another, that same kind of green light half illuminating the circumference, this large inner chamber here. And you don't hear anything. You immediately see kind of in front of you, it looks like in the very center of this tree, there's what looks like a spiral staircase that appears to go up and down. But other than that, this room is pretty barren.
I don't hear anyone. Let's go in. It goes without saying we dropped our torches. So I open the door just enough for me to slide in and sort of hold it for the others to come in. And then slowly shut it behind us.
I'll hold the bunny up with the divining rod, and I will say, "Bun Bun, what is Victor's vector?"
Yes.
Oh.
Look at the satisfaction on his face.
It's finally happened.
only took six episodes, but we got there. It appears that this divining rod is pulling you up and down.
It appears Victor has been split into two, and he is both above and below us.
Oh, wow. That's a fantastic illusion. Not very many people are able to pull that off.
What do you mean?
Well, they split someone in two.
No. What does Dandelion mean?
Oh.
He's split in two.
The rod says he's above us and below us.
Oh. Yeah, he's probably in two.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It can't decide.
Up.
It can only go up.
In my experience, the bad things generally are down.
Yeah, so let's go up.
Yes, you can go down much faster than up.
Okay, I follow you.
Ravina?
Yeah, I'm going. Here, get your bunny stick over here and keep me on the right path.
Give me another stealth then as we're climbing these stairs.
I don't know that the rod's going to be much use in here.
Oh no. My first critical fail on the disadvantage there.
Uh-oh.
It's technically a 14.
Dang, a 19 and a 20.
18 for Malik.
My roll is a 21.
25 for Dandelion.
Or no, do we still have Pass Without a Trace? So 31.
Dang.
I thought that sounded low.
Yeah, I was like, well, it's good enough, so there's no point in correcting the math.
That boosts my 14 up. Please.
You trip on the first step.
Yeah, you just biff it. You just eat it on this very first step. But you're creeping up, and it seems like the stairs themselves are carved out of more like of petrified wood, like core, like the core of this tree you're in, right? And like the same with like the walls and the ground, it's all that darkest, like night black, pitch black, petrified wood, similar to what the trees themselves, the forests, are made of, but clearly much, much older. And as you are, you know, navigating this spiral staircase, you come to the next floor, and the staircase does continue up, but this next floor above where you entered, it again is kind of devoid of any like furniture or anything like that. Etched into the petrified wood and the walls and the floor are just like arcane sigils around like its entirety. You know, kind of looking into this the circular room, immediately to your right and kind of back behind the entranceway, where the threshold of where you would step into the room, is a pool of blood. It looks like it's congealed. There are splatters of it all over the walls. Bloody footprints leading from like out of it, and like you can see that they lead clearly to the stairs. And now that you've spotted them further up the staircase, you can hear though the munching and gnashing of teeth and flesh, as in the opposite kind of corner, for lack of a better term, of this circular room, you see a pack of gas of undead creatures feasting on the remains of bodies. They don't appear to have noticed you as they're gorging themselves on flesh.
Can I point the divining rod and see if I can feel if Victor is part of that pile?
The divining rod, you get kind of, it's a weaker signal, but it is pointing you towards the pool of blood.
I won't say anything because fear of them, but I will gesture to the blood.
I grab Grundle's shoulder.
Yeah, hold him back.
Grundle licks his lips.
I shake my head no to Grundle.
I put my finger over my lips to silence.
So if he split in two, his drained body must be down?
I point my finger upwards, up the steps, and into my mouth.
I'm ready to fight. Guess I just keep creeping. I don't freaking know.
Next level?
If she puts the divining rod to my back, I keep walking.
Is that a divining rod, or are you just...
Oh my God. Is that a fluffy bunny?
Oh, Mr. Fluffy Bunny.
Oh boy. Incorrigible is a good descriptor.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay.
Goodman Games, don't judge us.
I mean, I was worried about the last little bit of this taking too long, but no, we're just charging forward.
We're just trekking
so
in.
Quite all right.
Just stomping through the blood puddles.
Listen, they ran away because they're scared of me. That's, you know.
Okay, give me another stealth check, please.
Oh, dear.
Okay, the luck has come to its end.
Well, same.
I mean, I critically failed and we are still okay.
Okay, I got a 16.
15.
21.
22. Oh, wow. Okay. Still did pretty good.
Oh, I'm so
get
sad
out of
your
here,
luck's
Grundle.
Run out. Once again, Pass Without Trace being the overpowered spell it is, allowing you to very quietly, whisper silent, creep up to the next story. This flight leads to the top floor of, like, the very top of this petrified tree. As you approach the top of this and pass this threshold, through the, you can finally see a point in the canopy of the trees above you. And, like, the first time you've seen night sky and there's just growing dark clouds above. They kind of roil with activity, lightning striking and crashing down. On the floor up here, engraved into it is what looks like some type of a ritual circle. Up here there's black, purple, red, and blue candles burning at various points settled around this circle. Four braziers burn with more green fire, kind of arranged at the four compass points around the entire circle of this top floor. At the center is a figure. He appears kind of imposing, like in the center of the ritual circle. He's clad in black robes, but you would not really be able to even tell the color of them if they were colored, as he is completely drenched in blood. There's this unholy symbol hangs from kind of around his neck as he's shouting, like his arms and his face is raised to the sky as he's shouting to it, to his left and right, as he is not alone. Horrific monstrosities approach him with kind of the sense of urgency. Two on the left are violet-skinned humanoids, pointed ears. Their faces are lined with horrible, writhing, serpent-like beards as they stalk forward, spinning wicked-looking glaives. On the right, a lanky, green-skinned humanoid creature moves forward, weaving to and fro in snake-like fashion. It's covered in razor-sharp spikes that run down its back, over its arms, and all down the length of its long tail, rivaling even Ravina's.
No.
And again, they don't appear to have noticed the four of you, but those additional creatures are looking at this figure in the ritual circle, right? And they too can have their arms raised as he is reciting this incantation.
What's the plan? What's the plan here, guys?
I don't see the boy.
Where's the divining rod point?
The divining rod appears to be pointing towards the figure in the center of the ritual circle.
I'm going to mouth, "It's him, it's him," and point to the figure.
That's Victor?
Yes.
Okay. We attack?
He doesn't look like a child, right?
Duped.
Yeah, he's clearly a grown man. I would say probably elderly. And still, again, he kind of has that like imposing figure about him, like a sense of power about him. But definitely not a child, not a 12-year-old child.
They lied to us.
Or Victor was eaten.
Yeah, does this humanoid like have remnants around his
like
mouth?
Some blood on his beard, yeah.
Well, as I said, he's drenched in blood.
Oh gosh.
I think we're too late.
Yes, I don't see the child, and that's why we're here.
It also pointed down. Should we go look for his body down?
They don't seem to have seen us yet. I mean, maybe we could go take a look.
We need the remains.
We probably should interrupt this ritual, though.
Can you each give me another stealth check, please, as you were?
Ritual smitchual. It
could be a multi-day ritual, but you never know.
Be quieter. Talk quieter.
Scene one ritual, seen them all.
15 for Dandelion.
Oh, I crit.
Okay, but... not one for Grundle.
Well, with disadvantage, I've got 29, so.
18. We got speak without a trace going on, I guess.
Speak without a trace, yeah.
As the four of you are like having this hushed conversation, Grundle maybe a little too loudly for his part of it, as this ritual, like the, it almost like it you don't realize, like as you're caught up in your own conversation, like the chanting and like it stopped, and then you're looking at this group of figures. They've all turned now towards Grundle, I guess, but and because they were drawn by Grundle, of course now, and we can roll initiative.
Grundle subconsciously sort of licks his lips. Grundle has a 12.
Malik has a 10.
Dandelion has an 11.
Ravina has a 16.
Whoa, show off. And that's our show. If you're not already, be sure to follow us at IncorrigiblePar on Twitter, IncorrigibleParty on Instagram and Facebook, and you can go to IncorrigibleParty.com for world lore and PC information. And we've recently started adding some maps there as well. Incorrigible Party is generously sponsored and made possible by Critical Hit Design. For any of your design needs, visit criticalhitdesign.com. All ambient sound and music is provided by Tabletop Audio. And our intro and outro music was created by Josh Jarvis. You can reach him at jamesmercymusic@gmail.com. Happy adventuring!
This has been a Sounds of Steel production.